Grow the nanobots. Grow the nanobots. Sow them in the cracks. Grow them in the cracks. In the sidewalk. Line the nanobots up. Line them up and ask them. Line them up and ask them a question. Raise the yellow bots up.
Raise them up and make
them. Raise them up and make them respect us. Line the marching bots up.
Line them up and wish them. They Might Be Giants have perfected a deliriously catchy original sound over the past three decades. The two-time Grammy-winning Brooklyn Originals have a brand new CD that is out tomorrow, March 5th, entitled Nanobots. Known for their energized live show and love of the road, the band has already kicked off a 60-day international tour, and it's always a great pleasure to talk to one of the Giants, John Flansburgh. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure to be back on WAMC.
Thank you very much. So you've been busy working on this album, and I assume that is in the process an enjoyable part of the job, the creation of music.
Well, I mean, it's a mixed bag. You know, this album went very, very easily. We had just gotten off the road, and we basically embarked on making it right away, and it all kind of flowed together pretty well. And I think we felt like we're in a good place as just like a combo. But the previous album was much more like some kind of behind the music double episode where we really stopped working in the middle of it. And that was very strange. But, you know, what had happened is we had actually done so many recording projects in a row, we didn't realize that we'd actually kind of run out of gas. But you don't realize you're out of gas until, you know, the car stalls. So, but for us, it is kind of, there's an experimental part of what we're doing. Like there's an inquiry part of what we're doing where we're just messing around with sounds in our home studios. And that part of it can go on for hours or days or weeks or months. And it all seems like, you know, we're working, even though what we're working on is completely unclear.
But you have a project goal in mind. You know that you want to create an album of work.
Right.
And in this case, for Nanobots, is there not a theme, but is there an idea or even a rules of order that you go into?
Yeah, I mean, I think just judging from the title and the fact that the album has 25 songs and 45 minutes on it, I think the prefix nano kind of looms large in people's minds. Which of course brings up the controversial pronunciation of the word, of the prefix nano. Is it nano or nano? I find nano seems a little bit poncy, but I guess that's the way English people pronounce it, and I'm not going to argue the English language with the people who invented it. But this album, all that stuff kind of happened retroactively. We basically started working on the album without much idea of how it was, what the shape of it was going to be. And then we came up with this idea of creating a bunch of really short songs, almost like jingles, maybe like jingles for impossible ideas. And we didn't even know how we were going to intersperse them. I think at first we even thought we'd be making some kind of medley just of those songs, kind of like years ago we did a song called Fingertips, and a couple years back we did a song called With the Dark. And those are these kind of cascading collage songs, and they're kind of fascinating pieces of music when you assemble them all together, just hear these collisions of sounds over the course of 3 minutes. But with this album, what we did is we ended up kind of interspersing the short songs throughout the record, and it really does a pretty good job of destroying whatever expectations you might have of an album listening experience and really turns it into this kind of psychedelic thing. And I think it works. I think it actually livens things up, and it's not a concept album in any sense. It's not about, the album isn't about technology or anything, but it does have this unusual structure to it that I think does a lot to sort of short circuit any preconceived notions about how you think an album should go. It's not just like a 3 minute song and then another 3 minute song and another 3 minute song. It's much more active than that.
Active is a great word because it seems, I've seen it described as caffeinated, but the active is a great word to describe it because it's moving.
Did you say caffeinated, Joe?
Yes.
That's a good cup of coffee.
good cup of coffee.
No, I've actually been on this crazy, not like, it's not like a press junket because it's all happening in my house, but I think I've done 25 interviews in the past 3 days. So I'm a little bit nuts right now, and I have to say the only thing that gets me through it is just pounding back cup of coffee after a cup of coffee. But I'm sure there's going to be some of these interviews when they air where people are going to think, like, I think that guy has got some kind of substance abuse problem, because I will start talking so fast after the third cup of coffee that it's kind of frightening.
Do you enjoy the process of talking about your work? You're very good at it, but I'm curious as to whether it is a chore for you to think of new ways to describe what it is that you do.
Well, you know, there's a full range of interviews that you do, and some of them are pure drudgery. I mean, I don't think, you know, these seem like sort of like, you know, high class problems to have, but I mean, I was doing Australian phoners yesterday, and two of them asked me where we got the name for the band. Now, Joe, I've been in this band for 30 years.
16 albums, 30 years.
You know, over the course of those 30 years, the invention of the internet happened, and now it is ubiquitous. So,
Google it.
To have people sort of quiz you on where you met and how you got the name for the band, you just your eyes do roll into the back of your head. But you know, you got to be nice. It's kind of like, it's a little bit like running for Congress. You know, I think there's kind of a politics to it. You're in the culture. You're an invited guest. You should be civil. And, you know, we want to be persuasive. We want people. I guess the thing is like what we're doing as a band is not for everybody. It's not like everybody in the world is going to love the music that we do. It's a very specific kind of music with a very kind of pushy attitude. And so I think we're trying to reach out to the people who would be intrigued by that and leave it open for interpretation. And so when we go on shows, I don't think we have too many preconceived notions about what it's good for. We just kind of want to spread the word about what we're doing. So yeah, it is, you know, we try to be nice. What's that the question? Are we trying to be nice?
Trying to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes it's really fun. I mean, I'll tell you, like, you know, doing public radio in general is really interesting because the level of the questions are actually intellectually engaging. And I think, like, you know, I mean, the ultimate example of that is something like going on Fresh Air, where all of a sudden you actually feel like you're smarter than you ever were before. And, you know, and Terry Gross is asking, and sometimes it's asking really the simplest questions. She might even ask like a question that a newspaper reporter would ask, but somehow it's got this kind of fantastic public radio topspin on it that just makes it all seem right.
When you describe the band as pushy in the music.
Well, a lot of music is kind of about the, you know, giving you like an atmospheric vibe. I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of music that are just about texture or vibe. But what we're doing is a bit more kind of foreground than that.
And you like being in the foreground. You're comfortable being in that foreground.
Oh, I mean, I think it's just a natural reflection of, you know, our personalities. I say that in kind of a neutral way. I'm not saying it's like superior to anything else. It's not like other kinds of music are background music. I'm not accusing things that are less pushy of being background music. It's just I don't know. You know, if you put on I'm trying to think of a lush record of quality. You know, when you put on I don't know. Songs are very. I think songs require a larger commitment than other kinds of music. I don't know. Help me out here, Joe. I'm dying.
No, you're not. I find it interesting because if you think of, I guess when you come to that realization, as you say, it is a reflection of who you are. And so that would indicate that you came to that fairly early, but I also would assume, and it certainly would seem in after 16 albums, that there has been a transformation, that you have grown, you have matured, but there's still that quality that was there from the very beginning.
Well, I think, as you know, the first we flourished in obscurity for 4 or 5 years before we even made our first album. And during that time, we were working out of the East Village performance arts scene, which was a really wide open celebration of eccentricities. And there were a lot of things that in our performance that were never really crossed the finish line into our recorded material. I mean, there were some very screamy kind of songs. And I think over the course of those 5 years, we realized where our personal strengths lie. I mean, there is something. I mean, speaking of the internet and the pre-internet age, I'm so very grateful that those first 4 or 5 years that we worked, there's virtually no documentation of those times. I mean, there's a few recordings and just a couple of videotapes, but there's nothing to show from those years. And those were just growth years. Those were like woodshedding years for us. We did a lot of songs that were terrible. And had a lot of ideas that were just really sketchy. We were just trying to figure out what we were about. And at the same time, on the same scene, there were all these... We played at the same venues that Sonic Youth were coming up at. We played on bills with a band from Texas called the you can't say it on the radio, Surfers, and a band called Swans. We played with some very loud bands. We played on bills with the Pixies. And of course, so all these kind of proto grunge things were happening at the same time. It wasn't a given that we would end up doing these melodic 2 minute long kind of Beatle-y songs. It just ended up being what we figured out we were good for. So, you know, I'm just glad that we had the chance to kind of evolve in out of the public eye. And then from that point, it's kind of, you know, become the proud tradition of They Might Be Giants.
When you think of that tradition and this new album, the first track that you, I guess, was released by Rolling Stone was Call You Mom, which is probably the first that many of your fans got to hear of what was on the new album. Is that fairly representative of what you think is part of Nanobots?
Oh yeah, I mean it's a very peppy kind of crazy song with a lyric that will thrill psychoanalysts everywhere. It's got saxophones on it, which makes it a little bit of a standout. There's a lot of bass clarinet on this album. I think it's early in 2013, but I think it's safe to say there's more bass clarinet on our album than any other pop album this year.
And that can only be a good thing, I would think.
The bass clarinet's a majestic instrument. There's even a contrabass clarinet, which is counter to what the name implies. It's actually lower than the bass clarinet. The track Black Ops is out in the world now as well. For people who are concerned about drones.
As we all should be, I think.
Well, they're going to be coming after us soon enough.
that's right.
Black Ops, Black Ops, a holiday for secret cops. Black Ops, Black Ops, dropping presents from the helicopter. It's been a long year. We've been so far from home. Too many people here. Here come the drones. We take the best of it and make a mess of it. Ripping up some lawn and then we're gone.
When you have been here at the studio and in our previous conversations, you talk so much about collaborations and how you work with others. And I assume that through the 30 years and through not only your relationship with John Linnell, but also that you are that you are working with other people who you've worked with either before or maybe for the first time, but those collaborations are very important and very fun.
Yeah, well, you know, so I was just doing an interview the other day and somebody pointed out that we've done 13 albums with Pat Dillett. And, you know, Pat Dillett is our engineer and producer. And Pat's a real kind of world-class dude. He works with Mary J. Blige and David Byrne and has done stuff with Tegan and Sarah. He's worked with a lot of, you know, famous people. And he has his own studio now. And I hadn't even really thought about that. You know, when we work with Pat, I feel like, oh, we're working with, like, the legit guy, you know. But of course, you know, we're a big part of his life too. But yeah, sometimes I can't believe we've just been kind of rolling along for so long. I mean, I've got the same manager and the same booking agent and the same wife, and you know, it's all the same musical partner. It's remarkable that we're 30 years deep into it.
Well, the new album comes out tomorrow, March 5th. Nanobots is being released, and They Might Be Giants also on a huge tour, 60-date international tour already underway. John Flansburgh, it's a great...
Oh, can I be that guy who says something right at the end?
Yeah, sure, be that guy.
We have a free iPhone app that is available to everyone. If you have an iPhone, go to the iTunes store and download the They Might Be Giants app. It has many of the songs that we're discussing right now. It has a different song every day, and it's totally free.
Wow. So it's the iPhone app, and that's right, and a different song every day. So yeah. You can always get your They Might Be Giants a fix.
Yeah, what's better than free?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And again, the new album is Nanobots. It's out tomorrow. John Flansburgh, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you so much.
Enjoy the road. Thank you.
And give my best to Sarah.
Will do. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
He's coming over to your house and isn't gonna leave till you loan him something. You got a nice pair of slacks which he takes but will only return one of them. Getting all up in your last name face.